CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KO 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. If you want to get in the final hour, 215-592-9494 is how you join in. A lot of fun today. We're joined by Brian Westbrook earlier on in the show. And B. West, obviously great, talking about Saquon and the running back position and this situation where if the Eagles find themselves in a spot, week 18, final game of the season. The rushing record is within reach, but you don't really have anything to play for. What do you do? Do you put them out there? Do you let them go for the record? Or do you put them on ice? And it's going to be a really interesting situation to monitor. And I think we've kind of come to an agreement on what we think the Eagles will do. It's that Nick is probably going to need to put this in the players' hands, right, Hugh, as a former player?
No.
No? You don't. Do you think Nick could just say,
No, you know what? Because I'm thinking, it's one of those things where we got bigger fish to fry, man. I feel like everything that we're talking about is moot, but sometimes you have to protect yourself from yourself. You have to protect other people from yourself. I don't think I said that right, but you get what I'm trying to say.
I get what you're saying.
Protect people from themselves.
Yeah, we're
trying to win a Super Bowl. I hear what you're saying. I feel like everything that we're discussing, it's going to eventually take care of itself.
Well,
you don't think so?
Well, here's why I'll push back. Sirianni did, at one point this season, ask Saquon if he wanted to stay in and get the record.
That's something totally different.
I disagree.
It's different because the season was so young at that point.
Well, right, but he did defer to Saquon and what he wanted.
But that, again, still young in the season, and you're asking him out of respect for what that one game and that small sampling size meant to him.
Yeah, but you don't think he's going to apply that same logic to week 18?
Well, not when we talk about if my bell cow gets hurt trying to get a record and he's not ready for the Super Bowl.
Well, he could have got hurt in that game trying to get the
Eagles
record.
But Kyle, if he gets hurt in that game, to your point, I got 8 to 10 weeks to get him back.
I understand for a playoff run. So you don't know what exactly the risk is, right? You don't know what kind of injury he'd sustain, anything. But it's just a risk in general.
Here's the thing. It's the same as to me, as running a risky play on 4th and 3. It's the same thing. Like, if you get it, you are the genius. Oh, he's a gutsy coach. If you miss it, you're an idiot.
And to that point, Hugh,
that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Risk reward.
But doesn't that mean the process matter more than the results?
Well, no, not in this case.
Well,
because Kyle, because in this case, it's like, what do you think hits worse? Say he goes out there. God forbid. I'm not going to even say anything negative. But
I know where you're going. Yep.
Yeah, and you've already been called an idiot like this year. Let's just break it down to that. Your sanity has been questioned.
Which was wrong, but
No, it wasn't wrong.
Sure it was.
That's another.
That's dumb.
You're a coach.
Hold up, dog.
Come on, Hugh.
You had a Britney Spears moment. and the team benefited from it, but you still had a moment. Let's just call it what it is.
Iconic video.
If something happens where you put yourself, if you're the focal point of the story, you're a validated idiot.
Well, Saquon's the focal point of the story. Well, he should leave it up to Saquon.
You know what I'm talking about. I know how
Giglio will react.
You're a validated idiot.
Well, this is the thing.
You're scared of the Giglios of the world.
You're bonafide idiot.
How does it factor in last year the fact that A.J. Brown got hurt the final week of the season?
You're a bonafide idiot. You do this.
Yeah, David,
we knew we should have never gave him no money. He don't know how to act.
But it's not just a Saquon decision. Like B.West said it, like the O-lineman will take pride in it. The other players on offense will take pride in it. Like Sirianni, if he's Mr. Players coach, you got to leave it up to the players.
Right.
Man, listen, I am trying to win a Super Bowl. And if, okay, now there's a bunch of variables in this equation that we haven't factored in. We're just hypothetically talking about if he doesn't have it, will I let him get it? I'm going to sit him down. You know what I'm going to do if I'm the head coach? I'm going to channel my inner Nick Sirianni. Say, listen, dog, I understand that this accolade means a lot to you, and I understand that for the offensive lineman it means a lot, but let's think about this for a while. We got a chance to win a Super Bowl, and I would love for you to get this record, and I would love for this to be a feather in your cap, but dog, if you get hurt in this game, if you hurt your pinky finger or something like that, I'm gonna look like an idiot. No, I'm just saying. I'm keeping it minimal. I'm minimalizing.
No, that's a leading question, Hugh.
No, it's not.
I'm keeping it a bean.
Listen, I'm keeping it a bean. I'm gonna say, listen, dog. No, I'm gonna say, listen, dog. That ultimately, I'm gonna ride with you with this one. But I'm gonna take a book. I'm about to take some heat or something. Better not nothing happen to you.
Leading question.
Because I'm gonna take some heat.
So what you're saying is,
I'm gonna let him know.
Nick should basically guilt Saquon into sitting.
That's exactly what you're doing.
No, you just tell me. I get if you want to go for it, but you're gonna make me look really bad if you get hurt.
Just tell me pros and cons. Be my job.
You just tell me pros and cons.
And honestly, I'm having trouble refocusing now because after Kyle played that many men video of Nick Sirianni pacing the practice. That video is going to live on in Eagles history. It's going to live on in Eagles history. Nick Sirianni, what did the Eagles do at the end of the year if Saquon has a chance at the record? Also, the one seed, do the Eagles need it? They're the two questions we got on the table. 215-592-9494. Also, one of the themes this season has been the Eagles' slow starts and how they've struggled early in games. Now, there have been some interesting quotes regarding that the last couple days. First, here was Lane Johnson. This is after the game on Sunday, talking about the offense and how some of their best stuff they haven't always used early on in games.
Talking about the fourth quarter success a little bit there. I asked Nick, so I'm going to ask you, do you guys hold stuff for the fourth quarter when it comes to the running game?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some plays, at least the first half. I mean, we may bring them out third quarter, but there's a lot of stuff that we don't show in the first half that we might save for the second half. So,
I mean, but a lot of teams do that, though.
Is that that's common?
It's called chess. Like, it was one play where it was the RPO. And I think in the first half or the first couple of plays, Jalen, as I do it when nobody can see, Jalen faked the handoff. No, he handed the ball off, and the defensive end crashed out, and he made the play.
Yep, Romo pointed it out.
Yeah, he crashed out and made the play. A couple plays later, same action. The running back, the defensive end did the same thing. Jalen ran for like 20 yards.
Yep.
Yes, it's chess. Like a lot of things that happen during the course of the game, you might not get back to them right then and there. But, yeah, you want to see how the defense reacts to this. Because the perfect example, I remember my rookie year, my biggest issue was I would get up the field every time the tackle would show me pass protection, and I used to get hit with the CTO all the time, counter trap option, where the tackle shows me, he shows me pass, the guard blocks down, and the other guard pulls, and he traps me. And it would be right out the gate because my job was to get the guard from going up on the second level. And I remember Mo Lewis telling me, damn it, Hugh, they're going to run that play until you stop it. You stop it one time, they'll never run it again. And I remember I used to get got on that same action all the time because they would set me up. They would let me run up the field, and I would fall for it. But the one time that I stopped it, I never saw it again. So, yes, it's a chess match within a football game. Because a lot of things that you do, you set up other plays. I remember Eric Mangini when he was with the Patriots. He said what made them so successful. They would run a play. They would run the same play until you stopped it. He said, and then we would run it again in different formations, but it's the same play. And they would run it until you stopped it. And when you stopped it, they would run another one until you stopped that one. And then they'd come back to the other one. But it's the way that you get to it. That's the chess match. That's why when people talk about Roquan Smith was calling out the plays, and like last year, Joey Bosa said they knew the plays. Yeah, you could call them out, but if you can't stop the execution, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And this was interesting. This is something Nick Sirianni talked about as well. Here was Nick Sirianni on with the morning show this week talking about this very issue of the Eagles setting things up early in games.
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like there's things that are going to be shown on tape that aren't shown on tape, Rich, you know this, like that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And like, where'd that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And, you know, we've had some, we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going faster and better than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
And it is interesting because you brought up that play where they handed it off to Saquon and he gets stopped at the line of scrimmage. But Tony Romo points that out and he's like, okay, well, they're going to read that. And next time Jalen's going to keep it. And I think it's similar to like a fighter, whether it's boxing or UFC, anything like that, where some guys will be content to like give up early rounds just to kind of make their reads and adjust as things go on. Do you kind of think that's what the Eagles do early in games?
I don't know about that. I think that a lot of times, because I've heard this more than once, that teams, when they come out, they are seeing looks that they don't normally see. But I feel like once they get a bead, that they go into it and they say, okay, they're susceptible to this, that, or the third. You know, and that's, they work it from there. Because like I said, that was one play that stuck out to me. The one thing that's a truism when it comes to this team is, going into a game, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I have to figure out what do I want to try to stop. And right now, the focal point is to try to stop the running game because it hasn't been stopped. That's you don't understand, people, how dangerous that is to have a running game that up until this point, nobody has been able to figure out, especially in the second half. Nobody's been able to figure that out. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of Detroit Lions games, but it feels to me like there are times where the running backs might be, you know, the focal point, and then sometimes the passing game. And if I'm not mistaken, it feels like the last couple of weeks has been more of the passing game. No, excuse me, more of the running game that has been their bread and butter. Mm. And the passing game is kind of taking a back seat. Not sure. You know, that's just my speculation. Like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of games. But we have a running game that up until this point in the season, nobody has been able to figure out. That's dangerous. That's dangerous because no team – and we've played against some pretty good fronts. You know, you talk about that Baltimore Ravens defense on the front end. They were pretty good. You talk about that Rams team that had a good front four. They were pretty good. And nobody has been able to figure out the cheat code or the piece to slow Saquon down. You might slow him down in the first half, but in that second half, he's toting the rock. And you can't stop it.
And it just always feels like he's going to break one. Like, it had that feel during the game on Sunday that eventually he's going to break one loose. And I did think that was interesting with the slow starts as far as the Eagles maybe setting things up for later in games. Maybe there's something to it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Jake in Delco. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on, man?
I wanted to give the much maligned Hugh Douglas his flowers for a couple things.
Nope.
I was kidding, Jake. It's all right.
What's that?
You okay, Jake? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm good. Can you
this
hear
is
me?
A joke.
We got you, man.
Dog. We got you. What's up?
I tried to do this about a week or so ago, and Kyle shut me down.
I would never do that.
Sounds like Kyle.
Don't lie to the people, Jake.
So Hugh said that going into this season, he said this season would be basically it. And it has been, in terms of they started a little rough, but then they got together as opposed to last year, which we all saw. And that has become a take that has become very true. And the other one was when Sirianni had his Britney Spears moment, Hugh was saying – And I remember him being almost laughed at for it. He was saying, this is the kind of thing that a team can rally behind. I'm telling you, this might turn into something where it's us against the world and we all we got, we all we need kind of thing. And damn if that did not happen.
I know
the
crazy.
Many men.
I know crazy, Jake. I mean, you know, I speak crazy and I gravitate towards crazy for the most part. So I kind of felt like that was the case. I remember sitting at the tailgate and I was like, when we were talking about it, and I think Elliot was the one that showed me the picture, and I was thinking, I can't say exactly what I said on the air. I can't say exactly what I said on the air, but I was like, oh, he didn't lost his mind. and I was like, this could be one or two things. This could be something that's really good, or it could be really bad. And I know a lot of people tried to downplay it, but there was something going on with Coach Sirianni. And he workshopped his way out of it, and this team has had success from it. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, man. Yep. And you know what I always go back to with all the stuff about Nick Sirianni? Last year when Fletcher Cox, at the end of the year, in the locker room, when Jeff McClain said something to him about Nick Sirianni, whether or not the coach was going to get fired, and the look in Fletch's eyes, and he just said, "You's a clown. He's the coach of this football team." And I said, damn, that look in his eyes said everything about how these guys feel.
Yeah, he probably didn't like Jeff McClain either, though. He probably, probably didn't like him.
There you go, Jake. Appreciate the call. I think Kyle intimidated Jake a little bit. Like, he came on a little tentative, and I think it's because of Kyle's intimidating personality.
Do you know me as somebody that would do that?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, Kyle, look at him. He's sitting over there. Yeah, he's got a mad look on his face. He's grouchy.
Kyle's intimidating, man.
Kyle's an idiot.
Kyle's very intimidating.
Kyle is intimidating.
Yeah, he is.
But he brings a much needed.
But they call it mean and surly.
To this show,
mean and surly.
Some people, it's bullying works. So sometimes people need to be bullied into doing the right thing for the betterment of everybody else.
Did Nick Sirianni need to be bullied? I felt like he was bullied over the bye week.
Absolutely.
A bit.
I mean, he was bullied all offseason.
Yeah.
Let's keep it a bean. Did he not bring most of the bullying on himself?
I mean, look,
let's be honest.
If we really want to think about it, the turning point of the season was our O-line bullying Nick Sirianni into running the ball.
That's not untrue. That is not untrue.
I'm just saying.
Jordan Mailata, and he didn't put it that way when he was on with you, Hugh, at the Players Lounge.
Yeah.
But when you read between the lines, kind of intimidating. I mean, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson walk into your office, and they
tell you, hey, man, this is what we need to start doing.
They quote-unquote ask you to do something. Ask. I don't know. I'd be pretty.
Yeah,
I'd be pretty
can't
scared
say no to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, bullying works. There you go. The theme of
you
gotta
do what you gotta do, man. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Let's go to John. What's up, John?
Hey guys, how you guys doing today?
What's going on, man?
Hey, listen. I got like 3 points to make. I guess the first one is I hate the rag on the referees, but I think that's why we need home field advantage this year, because I don't know what's going on, but the Ravens should have never scored that last touchdown.
Yeah, they picked the flag up. They picked the flag up.
The guy had him by the defensive lineman by the jersey.
There was a block in it looked like there was a block in the back.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, did that make a difference as far as the outcome of the game concerned? I mean, that's how I kind of look at it.
That's leading into my other point. I don't know. I've been watching football. I'm 58 years old, so I've been watching football a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking up a lot of flags anymore and saying there's no penalty. No.
Yeah, they did
no
that.
Call.
It felt like that a lot of that has been going on, no doubt.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm noticing that a lot anymore. Pick the flags up for the two holding calls we had against the Rams, you know? But anyway, that's my – well, I think we – I'm a little worried. I think we would maybe get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt if we're at home, with our home crowd.
And maybe
they need to get on these refs with the holding too. I mean, let them know. Watch what's going on as fans, and let them know.
Well, maybe that's the case, John. I appreciate the call, but Hugh, I want to get your take on that because obviously, I mean, Jalen Carter. It looked like he was getting held pretty frequently in the game
on Sunday.
There's nothing you can really do about it.
Nah.
But how frustrating is it as a defensive lineman when you're getting held
and
you're not getting
calls? I was always told, TK, if they're holding you, that's your problem. That's your fault because you're not getting off the blocks. And if Jalen Carter doesn't like it, then he has to do something about it, like violent hands. offensive linemen, for the most part, as I again do this, like I'm illustrating why I'm on radio, but offensive linemen, they're taught to hold within your shoulder pads.
Yep.
Like inside, like where your boobies are, the man boobies. And they get underneath that pad right there. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And they hold and they try to hold close, because if they're doing that, they don't call that.
Right.
So it's on Jalen Carter to make sure that he disengages with that as I do it, as I flip the arms or like extend his arms and pull them to the side so that the ref can see that. Because if the lineman is in front of you and he's holding you, they're never going to call that. So you have to make it so that you're visibly trying to get off the block and you can visibly see them holding you, then they'll call it. They're never going to call that. Tommy used to tell me that all the time. He said, damn it, Douglas, if you're getting held, that's your fault.
Right. And it's one of those things that as a fan, it is frustrating to watch. But that's an interesting perspective that, hey, I mean, you gotta get off.
You got to disengage.
Make it blatant.
The only way they're going to call it is if you're disengaging in the blocks. And I see what people are talking about. But Jalen's not doing a good job of disengaging. He kind of sits there because he's getting double teamed and he might be a little tired or whatever. And he's pushing the pocket. And I think that's initially what he's programming himself to do, because he's getting penetration, but he's not coming off the block. He's pushing the lineman back. He needs to learn how to push pull. Like when you push him back, snatch him. Like as I snatch him quickly and throw him to the side. That way, if they're holding on, they're going to call that.
And because they'll pull you down with them.
Yeah, they'll pull you down with them.
Right.
So he has to do a better job of that. But as far as what he's doing, he's doing his job, man. He's taking two blockers, and they can't do nothing with him. Sometimes three. But if he's getting held, that's on him.
Yeah, that's interesting. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, final segment coming up. We'll run your phone calls before we get out of here. Maybe Hugh will set us up with a parlay for tonight's game.
Let's go, Hugh.
I'm riding with Hugh tonight, buddy. With this parlay. And we'll get into what we think about this game tonight. Awesome game between the Packers and Lions coming up. Broadcast right here on WIP. You can hear all the action coverage starting at 7:30 tonight. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. And we are getting ready for a big one tonight. Packers at Lions. You can hear right here on WIP. Maybe the best Thursday night football game of the year, I think. I mean, there were some...
Yeah, this one's going to be pretty exciting with everything that's on the line. You're talking about two teams aspiring to be in the playoffs. So, yeah. Yeah,
probably second to Eagles Washington.
Yeah, Bengals Ravens early in the year was a great game.
Yep.
But this is maybe the most important game, as it's going to have a lot of ramifications as far as seeding is concerned. And we talk a lot about the Lions and how good they are, and they have an 11-1 record. But the Packers have been playing really well lately, and we were talking a little bit about it off the air earlier, Hugh. The Packers, this is what they did last year. They got hot at the end of the year. Kind of looks like it's the same thing.
Yeah, man, and that's the one thing about this team that's why I feel kind of strongly about this game, because I'm like, man, I remember last year, Packers started playing well towards the end of the season. They had a little bit of that rocky start, and then when they got towards the end of the season, that's when they started playing a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ron Jaworski had some thoughts on this and how the Lions and Packers kind of compare. Here was Jaws.
Jaws, Detroit and Green Bay on Thursday. It's a big game for the implications for the one seed. Who do you think wins that game?
Green Bay. I think Green Bay, in fact, watching the game on the games this past weekend, I think clearly Green Bay now is passed by Detroit because of the injuries Detroit has suffered. Green Bay is playing at a very high level right now on both sides of football.
That's interesting, and the good thing about Green Bay is even if they win tonight, even if they get hot here, it would be very unlikely that they jump the Eagles and get that one seed because, I mean, they already have three losses. The Eagles would have the tiebreaker, so the Eagles would essentially need to lose two of these final four games for the Packers to even have a shot, and the Packers would need to win out. So definitely want the Packers to win this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. As I'm sitting here, you know, trying to cook up this parlay that I want to put in.
I can't cooking. Wait for this.
Yeah. Have you cooked it yet, or are you still cooking?
I'm still cooking, man. I'm still trying to figure it out.
He's still cooking.
Yeah, I'm still cooking.
But the he's Packers the and Lions tonight, Matt LaFleur, as Stephen A. Smith likes to call him, taking on the Detroit Lions tonight. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Jason in Maryland. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's happening?
All right. Just want to give a quick shout out, Mr. Douglas. I want to thank you for the one time I went to the vet last year. The vet played the Cowboys. It was like 45-7, 45-10. You got a sack when I called out your name. So thank you very much, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You made a fan happy that day.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
On top of that, Brian Westbrook, Prince George's County guy, did his thing all around back. Beautiful thing. Now, the point I wanted to make was, Deuce Staley, not only for his efforts on the field, doing everything, being able to fall, you know, being able to catch the ball, short yardage, screen game, whatever you need to block, that whole type of thing. But the years he spent coaching guys like Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy, I feel like he's very underrated. And the big key with him is that he always fell forward. That's one thing I loved about him. He always got that extra yard. Next point, Saquon Barkley. The fact is that week two, when he dropped that pass against Atlanta, I told everybody who would listen he was going to go crazy for the next rest of the season to make up for that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so very easily could have been a one-loss team. And I feel like he's put such a standard for himself that it's infected the rest of the team. Last note, Jalen Hurts, I believe it's more of a mental thing with him. I believe that his ratio needs to change a little bit, where he's a little too worried about hurting the team, and he needs to put the hurts on his opponent. That's it. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go, Jason. Appreciate it. You didn't like that joke, Kyle? You gave him the whole Hoagie treatment.
Yeah,
the whole Hoagie treatment.
You wanted me to do this studio audience?
Well, Kyle thought I was a little too hard on Hulk earlier on with his. It's bad jokes.
No, he has some bad jokes.
Well, here's the thing. Like, sometimes when people tell jokes, the silence makes it worse. Like, if you laugh, that almost makes it funnier.
But
it's like, have you ever seen a sitcom with the studio audience, like the laugh track ripped off of it?
Of course I have.
It's awful.
Yeah.
So bad. I mean, the laugh track is what prompts you to laugh.
But if you tell a bad joke, I do not feel the need to reward you for telling me a bad joke.
Sometimes it's just that nervous
that's fair.
Laugh.
It's fair.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm taking it too seriously here.
Yeah.
I mean, Hulk Hogan, though. Come on, man. If you're...
No, he was bad.
I would say...
And I feel like the name, too. Like, if you're going to have the name of Hulk Hogan, and this is going to be your persona, you gotta be better.
Well, my one critique of Hulk Hogan is he doesn't use the word brother.
Oh, he needs to use
the word. That needs to be a part of the repertoire.
Word brother. That sounds like that needs to be a part of the repertoire. I'm with you on that.
He needs to be a Hulk Hogan ripoff.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. So, Hulk, if you're still listening, this is the feedback to kind of develop your character. A little bit moving forward here. But one thing that the last caller brought up that I think is really interesting and just it shows how great Saquon has been, Hugh, is we totally forget that he did drop that ball to cause one of the Eagles' losses.
Oh, no, and we forgave him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the things that we did. We forgave him for that because it was one of those things where, you know, we were all in our feelings, but everything that he's done up until that point, we're just applauding that man because – he's our guy now. He's one of us.
Like, he legitimately, like, wasn't – obviously, there are a lot of reasons the Eagles lost that game. But if Saquon catches that ball, the Eagles win. And he's been so great that we don't even look at that.
Well, in the moment, nobody was mad at him, though, because everyone wanted to blame Nick Sirianni for that because everyone didn't like Nick Sirianni and everyone loved Saquon.
Well, I was mad at him. But I'm a Sirianni guy.
No, right. Well, I was very adamant about Saquon – Just catch the damn ball and we win the game.
Exactly.
Everyone wanted to come down on the coach, but just catch the ball, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very high percentage throw.
But the play worked.
Yeah. The play worked perfectly.
That's right.
I mean, but whatever. Saquon, it's all in the past now. We forgive and forget.
Yeah,
let's go to Josh.
Until he does it again.
Yeah. Don't do it in the playoffs, Saquon. Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Yo, TK, what's happening, dude? What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm out here getting crushed by the wind. The wind is no joke today, boys. However, so let's do this, right? As you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was fortunate enough during the halfway point to jump on when Ike was with you guys, you know, and I brought up the story about the 2017 NFC Championship game at the Link. And I'm going to tell you something. That was the loudest I've ever heard the Link, ever. So I say all that to say, you better bet that we need that one seed. Because let me tell you what, that crowd was something else, and it inspired the club. The minute that pick
Patrick Robinson.
Patrick Robinson, excuse me, thank you. Patrick Robinson took that ball to the house. The 180 that happens, oh, my God. I couldn't even hear the guy standing next to me. So, again, yes, we need home field advantage, 100%. And the one seed, and we're going to get some help tonight because I believe that the Green Bay is going to take Detroit down tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm betting on.
Yeah, I mean.
That's my thought process.
You Vegas, Vic. Hugh Douglas, a.k.a. Roxy Roxborough, making parlays, baby.
So, yeah, I got this. I think I got this parlay cooked up. I got my.
That voice there, Josh.
I got it figured out.
Okay. What do you got on Saquon, Josh? Then we'll get to Hugh's parlay.
Listen, Saquon's the man. Saquon is the absolute man. And I'm going to tell you, B-West hit it right on the hit the nail right on the head. If he is within striking distance, it's not only just about what Saquon wants. It's about that offensive line that's hungry. And he said it. They are just as invested in him and his success as he is. And the proof is in the pudding, man. These guys are pushing defenders around. And these next couple tomato cans, I mean, you know, it's not too far off to think that he ain't going to rip off another 200, possibly two 200-plus games. It's just a matter of whether or not the coaching staff wants to let him. But I'm going to be damned if he's within striking distance, they don't let him go for it. And, of course, it wouldn't just be him he's asking. He'd have to contend with guys like Joram Mailata and Lane Johnson jumping into the conversation to hopefully want to do it too. However, you know, in Eagle Green, I would love to see it. But at the same time, I want that chip. I want that trophy again. And we're within the window now, but we could hang you know, hang a few for that matter. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Saquon's awesome, and our success solely runs through him on the offensive side right now. But there has to be tricks up the offensive court, up Kellen Moore's sleeves, as well as Nick Sirianni. So I'm stoked for what's coming to us moving down the final leg of this season.
I got you, Josh. Appreciate the call. So Josh says 200 plus games. I think that's
ambitious. that's not being far fetched or too.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. And we are getting ready for a big one tonight. Packers at Lions. You can hear right here on WIP. Maybe the best Thursday night football game of the year, I think. I mean, there were some.
Yeah, this one's going to be pretty exciting with everything that's on the line. You're talking about two teams aspiring to be in the playoffs. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably second to Eagles Washington.
Yeah, Bengals Ravens early in the year was a great game.
Yep.
But this is maybe the most important game, as it's going to have a lot of ramifications as far as seeding is concerned. And we talk a lot about the Lions and how good they are, and they have an 11-1 record. But the Packers have been playing really well lately, and we were talking a little bit about it off the air earlier, Hugh. The Packers, this is what they did last year. They got hot at the end of the year. Kind of looks like it's the same thing.
Yeah, man, and that's the one thing about this team that's why I feel kind of strongly about this game, because I'm like, man, I remember last year, Packers started playing well towards the end of the season. They had a little bit of that rocky start, and then when they got towards the end of the season, that's when they started playing a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ron Jaworski had some thoughts on this and how the Lions and Packers kind of compare. Here was Jaws.
Jaws, Detroit and Green Bay on Thursday. It's a big game for the implications for the one seed. Who do you think wins that game?
Green Bay. I think Green Bay, in fact, watching the game on the games this past weekend, I think clearly Green Bay now is passed by Detroit because of the injury Detroit has suffered. Green Bay is playing at a very high level right now on both sides of the football.
That's interesting, and the good thing about Green Bay is even if they win tonight, even if they get hot here, it would be very unlikely that they jump the Eagles and get that one seed because, I mean, they already have three losses. The Eagles would have the tiebreaker, so the Eagles would essentially need to lose two of these final four games for the Packers to even have a shot, and the Packers would need to win out. So definitely want the Packers to win this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As I'm sitting here, you know, trying to cook up this parlay that I want to put in.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah. Have you cooked it yet, or are you still cooking?
I'm still cooking, man. I'm still trying to figure it out.
He's still cooking.
Yeah, I'm still cooking.
But the Packers and Lions tonight, Matt LaFleur, as Stephen A. Smith likes to call him, taking on the Detroit Lions tonight. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Jason in Maryland. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's happening?
All right, just want to give a quick shout-out, Mr. Douglas. I want to thank you for the one time I went to the vet last year. The vet played the Cowboys. It was like 45-7, 45-10. You got a sack when I called out your name, so thank you very much, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You made a fan happy that day.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
On top of that, Brian Westbrook, Prince George's County guy, did his thing all around back. Beautiful thing. Now, the point I wanted to make was Deuce Staley, not only for his efforts on the field, doing everything, being able to being able to catch the ball, short yardage, screen game, whatever you need to block, that whole type of thing. But the years he spent coaching guys like Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy, I feel like he's very underrated, and the big key with him is that he always fell forward. That's one thing I loved about him. He always got that extra yard. Next point, Saquon Barkley. The fact is that week two, when he dropped that pass against Atlanta, I told everybody who would listen, he was going to go crazy for the next rest of the season to make up for that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so very easily could have been a one-loss team. And I feel like he's put such a standard for himself that it's infected the rest of the team. Last note, Jalen Hurts, I believe it's more of a mental thing with him. I believe that his ratio needs to change a little bit, where he's a little too worried about hurting the team, and he needs to put the hurts on his opponent. That's it. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go, Jason. Appreciate it. You didn't like that joke, Kyle? You gave him the whole Kogi treatment.
Yeah.
The Hulk Hogan treatment.
You wanted me to do this studio audience?
Well, Kyle thought I was a little too hard on Hulk earlier on with his bad jokes.
No, he has some bad jokes.
Well,
here's the thing.
Like, sometimes when people tell jokes, the silence makes it worse. Like, if you laugh, that almost makes it funnier. Have you ever seen a sitcom with the studio audience, like the laugh track ripped off of it?
Of course, it's awful. Yeah.
So bad. I mean, the laugh track is what prompts you to laugh.
But if you tell a bad joke, I do not feel the need to reward you for telling me a bad joke.
Sometimes it's just that nervous laugh.
It's fair.
Yeah. Maybe I'm taking it too seriously here.
Yeah.
I mean, Hulk Hogan, though. Come on, man. If you're...
No, he's bad.
I would say...
And I feel like the name, too. Like, if you're going to have the name of Hulk Hogan, and this is going to be your persona, you gotta be better.
Well, my one critique of Hulk Hogan is he doesn't use the word brother.
Oh, he needs to use the word.
That needs to be a part of the repertoire.
That sounds like that needs to be a part of the repertoire. I'm with you on that.
He needs to be a Hulk Hogan ripoff.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. So, Hulk, if you're still listening, this is the feedback to kind of develop your character. A little bit moving forward here. But one thing that the last caller brought up that I think is really interesting and just it shows how great Saquon has been, Hugh, is we totally forget that he did drop that ball to cause one of the Eagles' losses.
Like, oh, no, and we forgave him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the things that we did. We forgave him for that because it was one of those things where, you know, we were all in our feelings, but everything that he's done up until that point, we're just applauding that man because – he's our guy now. He's one of us.
Like, he legitimately, like, wasn't – obviously, there are a lot of reasons the Eagles lost that game. But if Saquon catches that ball, the Eagles win. And he's been so great that we don't even look at that.
Well, in the moment, nobody was mad at him, though, because everyone wanted to blame Nick Sirianni for that because everyone didn't like Nick Sirianni and everyone loved Saquon.
Well, I was mad at him. But I'm a Sirianni guy.
No, right. Well, I was very adamant about Saquon – Just catch the damn ball and we win the game.
Exactly.
Everyone wanted to come down on the coach, but just catch the ball, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very high percentage throw.
But the play worked.
Yeah. The play worked perfectly.
That's right.
I mean, but whatever. Saquon, it's all in the past now. We forgive and forget.
Yeah,
let's go to Josh.
Until he does it again.
Yeah. Don't do it in the playoffs, Saquon. Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Yo, TK, what's happening, dude? What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm out here getting crushed by the wind. The wind is no joke today, boys. However, so let's do this, right? You remember a couple of weeks ago when I was fortunate enough during the halfway point to jump on when Ike was with you guys, you know, and I brought up the story about the 2017 NFC Championship game at the Link. And I'm going to tell you something. That was the loudest I've ever heard the Link, ever. So I say all that to say, you better bet that we need that one seed. Because let me tell you what, that crowd was something else, and it inspired the club. The minute Patrick Robinson, excuse me, thank you. Patrick Robinson took that ball to the house. The 180 that happens, oh, my God. I couldn't even hear the guy standing next to me. So, again, yes, we need home field advantage, 100%. And the one seed, and we're going to get some help tonight because I believe that the Green Bay is going to take Detroit down tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm betting on.
Yeah, I mean.
That's my thought process.
Look at you, Vegas, Vic. Hugh Douglas, a.k.a. Roxy Roxborough, making parlays, baby. So,
yeah, I got this. Yep. I think I got this parlay cooked up. I got my
that voice there, Josh.
I got it figured out.
Okay. What do you got on Saquon, Josh? Then we'll get to Hugh's parlay.
Listen, Saquon's the man. Saquon is the absolute man. And I'm going to tell you, B-West hit it right on the hit the nail right on the head. If he is within striking distance, it's not only just about what Saquon wants. It's about that offensive line that's hungry. And he said it. They are just as invested in him and his success as he is. And the proof is in the pudding, man. These guys are pushing defenders around. And these next couple tomato cans, I mean, you know, it's not – it's not too far off to think that he ain't going to rip off another 200, possibly two 200-plus games. It's just a matter of whether or not the coaching staff wants to let him. But I'm going to be damned if he's within striking distance, they don't let him go for it. And, of course, it wouldn't just be him he's asking. He'd have to contend with guys like Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson jumping into the conversation to hopefully want to do it too. However, you know, in Eagle Green, I would love to see it. But at the same time, I want that chip. I want that trophy again. And we're within the window now, but we could hang hang a few for that matter. So, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, Saquon's awesome. And our success solely runs through him on the offensive side right now. There has to be tricks up the offensive court, up Kellen Moore's sleeves, as well as Nick Sirianni. So I'm stoked for what's coming to us moving down the final leg of this season.
I got you, Josh. Appreciate the call. So Josh says two 200-plus games. I think that's a little ambitious.
That's not being far-fetched or too.